You know, in the story that we're looking at right now with the Apostle Paul in the shipwreck story, last week we spent a lot of time about the storm, but today we'll be talking about the shipwreck. And the hard reality of talking about storms is that I would love to be able to explain to you that the sun will always rise and that God will always calm the storm, because we get to see in Scripture how Jesus has the power to calm storms. And while our faith convinces us and we hold very fast to the knowledge and hope that we have in Scripture that God has the capability of calming every storm in our life, we know through experience that that's not always the case. Sometimes the storm that we're in will bring us to a terrible place of shipwreck. Now, we know by faith that even though we hit a shipwreck, we still have the confidence of knowing that God will never waste a hurt and that God will somehow redeem what it is that we've been through. And this morning, as I'm here to speak to an audience that I cannot possibly know all the storms that you're facing, I want you to know from my personal perspective, I know what it's like to see God calm storms in my life, but I also know what it's like to see God not calm the storm and it ends in a shipwreck. I shared a little bit about that last week. When my brother died in 1987, he died within 24 hours. He was brain dead within 24 hours. And we kept him on life support for 3 days after that. We buried him on Valentine's Day. But in the 3 days that he was there on life support, my family was a family of great faith. They've always been a family of great faith. My dad is a very stoic man of faith. My mom is a very emotional woman of faith. I'm kind of a combination of both of them. But as we stood there in the hospital, we each would go in and we would pray for Aaron and we would ask God to do the impossible. The storm that had been thrust upon us like a tornado that just kind of came into our lives out of nowhere. He wasn't sick, and all of a sudden he goes from being very healthy, jumping on the trampoline one afternoon, to just being incapacitated the next. And like, how has this happened? Well, certainly whatever's wrong, give him a shot, give him a pill, let him stay in the hospital for a couple days, but I'm sure this is all going to work out. But it didn't. And I remember praying for God to do the miraculous in a hospital bedroom there. My family had stepped out, and I prayed a prayer like I'd never prayed before, demanding and asking God, if you are really real, if you're there, step in and calm this storm and bring my brother back. And he didn't. I want you to know I get it, because there are times in your walk and times in your life that the storm that you're facing doesn't have the storybook happy-go-lucky outcome. So what do we do in the midst of that? How do we handle that? And how do we navigate it in the middle of it, not knowing exactly how our situation is going to turn out? This morning, that's what I want to talk about. I want to share from you from the story in Scripture of the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome, as he's dealing with a storm that God is telling him it's going to end in a shipwreck. But the good news is, in this storm, just like in your storm, even if you have a shipwreck moment, God is going to be able to use that moment and redeem that moment, because he never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a lesson. And there will be a time that you look back upon the story. You'll look back at a storm that God had calmed, or you'll look back at a storm that ended in a shipwreck that God got you through. But I can tell you this, when you look back on the story of your life, for all the believers in the room, you want to be able to look back and be able to see that you are a person of faith through the storm and through the shipwreck. Not only will it strengthen your faith and your resolve in who Jesus Christ is and God's power in your life, but all those that watch you go through the storm will also be encouraged by that. It's our responsibility to have the proper response in the middle of these storms. And while I'm going to share the proper response with you, I'm not pretending that it's easy. I've said last week, and we'll repeat it again this week in case you missed, this is not easy stuff, but it is the proper response to have in the middle of a storm. If you are a Christian in the room, you will be able to understand that even though these things seem impossible in the middle of your storm to be able to put into action, you won't be able to do it in your own strength, but you'll only be able to do this through the strength of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, giving you the strength to be able to have the proper responses. And so as believers, we have not only the practical steps today, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. For those that are not church people, or you're not, we couldn't see yourself a religious person, or you're still exploring this whole thing out and trying to navigate this, there's going to be a temptation today to put all these steps into practice in your life and hope that these will start somehow working. But this isn't a power of positive thinking message. This is a power of a Holy Spirit inside a believer's message. And so it's important for you to understand that what I'm going to share, while it sounds incredibly hopeful, it will not work for you if you do not find a place where you put your faith and trust in the Savior, which I'm referring to this entire time. The story and the character of a guy named Paul, he had that eternal hope of who Jesus was, and he had the confidence in his God, and it's my prayer that you would have that confidence as well. And I pray that you wouldn't leave here today without at least exploring and wondering and asking the questions on how to solve that. At the end of our message today, in our all four corners of the room will be our prayer team. They're here to pray for you and to strengthen you and to be there to encourage you in the middle of your storm, but they're also here to be able to help you navigate any decision that you have, to be able to understand what does it mean to have a relationship with God. Because I'm in a storm and I need what is being spoken about today. How can I have the confidence? And they'll help lead you to understand how to pray and receive the Lord as your forgiver and your leader, how to surrender your life and let go to Him, and He can take over control, and you can put these things into practice. Because once you give your heart to God, not only does He give you a new heart, a new life, but His Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and that's the power you're going to need to activate these things. So I want you to know about that, and please, this morning, don't leave if you have questions about it. We will stay as long as it takes to make sure every question is answered that you might have about how to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to open them to Acts chapter 27, or on the YouVersion app, you can follow along there. It'll also be on the screen behind you. And bring out your message guide. When I wrote the message guide, I was just going to give you kind of the breakdown of the passages. You'll see that there. But I'm going to give you five steps today. You're probably going to want to write on the back side of your paper. And so go ahead and get a pen out. They're in the seat pockets right in front of you. Get your message guide out, and we're going to dive in. The story picks up in Acts chapter 27, verse 27. And this is the storm has kind of been ensuing. Paul has been on this journey on the way to Rome, just hoping to get a fair trial. He's been a prisoner for long enough, and now he's ready for something to start moving and something to start happening. This storm that he's been in has been longer than just a boat ride. It's been happening in prison and long before this, and so he's just ready to get this thing called done. And so he's on his way to Rome to get a fair trial, and this storm has been brewing for a long time. Listen how long it's been brewing. Verse 27, about midnight on the 14th night of the storm. Imagine that. We're not talking about you're on the Carnival cruise line where you can just go to the Lido deck and kind of, you know, eat as much pizza as you possibly want to and then go sleep off your carb coma down in your stateroom. Okay, we're talking about like 14 days of a terrible storm, day and night, blocking out the sun, where your ship's captain and your sailors are all panicking because they don't know how to navigate in this type of scenario. It's worst case scenario, and that there seems to be no sign of it fixing. We don't have Paul Delgado telling us, just a couple more hours, folks, and we're going to get through it. We're talking like some serious stuff happening 14 days, about midnight on the 14th night of the storm. As they were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed that land was near. Here's how they did that. They would drop a weighted line, and they found that the water was 120 feet deep. And so there was a weight. They would just kind of count time. When that line went slack, they know the weight hit the bottom, and however that the number of seconds would translate mathematically into the number of feet the water would be. And so they would drop this weighted line, and they found the water was 120 feet deep. But just a little bit later, they dropped the line again, and they found it was only 90 feet, 30 feet difference. What that meant was that the seafloor was rising quickly. That means that they were approaching land or rocks. They don't know what's going to happen, but at the rate of this speed, verse 29, at this rate of speed, they were afraid. They were afraid that they would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. And so they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship, and they prayed for daylight. The boat was out of control. If you remember last week, I mean, they just picked up their feet and were getting swept away with this. The sailors said, there's nothing else we can do. They stopped trying. The last week we talked about it, they just gave up all hope. This boat is just fastly adrift, and they're just trying to figure out kind of what is the condition and course that we're on. And so they were checking this measurement of depth to figure out, is there any end in sight? Is there any land in sight? Because remember, they can't see. There's no sun. They can't see stars at night. They can't navigate to even know, are they making progress? Which direction are they heading? But they are drifting fast. They're dragging these anchors, hoping that they would slow them down because they don't want to wreck. But we know in this storm, because God's already told Paul and Paul's already told them, a shipwreck is imminent. We're all going to survive, Paul says, but the boat will be destroyed in a shipwreck. All hope was lost. They were praying for daylight. They didn't want to break against the rocks, and so they were using all of their own, this is the last ditch effort, so to speak, to try to control the circumstances. Well, we don't want to bash against the rocks. We don't want to come crashing down. So they're going to do all they can to stop it. And know that you and I, in the middle of our storms, that, why would we want to crash? Why would we want the boat to fall apart? There's a part of all of us that says, yes, let's take control here and do what we can do. Because they were going to hit rock bottom, literally. And their boat literally was going to come ripping apart. But it was too little too late. That shipwreck was imminent. In verse 30, listen how freaked out the sailors were. These are the professionals that run this boat. Verse 30. Then the sailors tried to abandon ship. Here's how they did it. They lowered the lifeboat. Now, the lifeboat previously, last time we were together, they brought the lifeboat onto the boat so that they wouldn't lose their boat. And so now that things were going from worse to worse, or whatever, bad to worse, however you say it, now they're thinking to themselves, we got to get off this boat. And so the sailors try to abandon the ship. They lower the lifeboats as though they were going to put out anchors in the front of the ship. They got four in the back. Yeah, we're going to go kind of anchor off in the front. We got to bring this thing to a stop. So it's going to take us all. There's a lot of work involved. And so we're all going to get on this lifeboat. We're just going to go out in front of the boat. We're going to do our job. We're going to come right back in. But Paul was wiser than that. He knew they were sneaking off. Verse 31, Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, he said, look, they're trying to get off this boat. He says, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard. So look what happened next in verse 32. So the sailors have this elaborate plan. Paul's telling the soldiers, these guys are trying to sneak off. And so here's what the soldiers do. The soldiers cut the rope to the lifeboat, and they let it drift away. Imagine just for a moment, whether you're a sailor or a passenger on the boat, and your lifeboat is just going off into the darkness. Complete darkness in the middle of the night. You can see just for a moment or two, maybe just a couple glistens in the light. That do break through, and the waves are causing a little bit of light to glisten, and you're straining to see it, and all of a sudden, no, it's gone. The waves and wind are too strong, and the boat's just cascading and just going deeper and deeper into the abyss. The sailors must have been freaking out watching their lifeboat drift into the darkness, because they were placed more security in that little boat than they did in what Paul's God had to say about their safety. Paul says, look, we all die. If they go down this boat, we all die. You know why that was the case? Think about it just logistically for a second. You have a ship that it must be controlled by the people who are professionals at running a ship. On the boat, you have the sailors who know how to ride this thing. You have soldiers who have never done anything for boating. You know, they're not boaters. And then you have prisoners. Paul and Luke and others, and you have other passengers that are on the boat. If the sailors get off the boat, here's what's going to happen. You have one lifeboat, multiple sailors. God's words tells us there's 276 people on this boat, of which many of them are the crew. And you've got a crew of people who are going to try to get on one lifeboat, and they're going to overload this lifeboat. And so now the professional people are going to board a lifeboat just for a moment or two while they push off, thinking that they're going to hopefully get to safety. But their boat is overloaded. The wind or waves is going to consume them, and they are all going to die out there because it's pitch black. They don't know what they're doing. And if the sailors all die in the lifeboat trying to save themselves, left on the boat, the passenger boat, the passengers, the prisoners, and the soldiers who do not have the capacity to navigate this vessel, and this boat's going to turn sideways, and they're going to get swamped by water, and they're going down. Why am I making a big deal about this point? It's because this, that in the middle of the storm, that you and I all have different parts and positions to play, and we cannot abandon our responsibility. I want to talk to you about a few things this morning. There's five different things that we had to have responses. And the first one is this. Write this down in your message notes somewhere. We must let go of our control. Sometimes you and I have to let go of our security in the midst of a storm to experience God's rescue, His provision, His protection. We've got to let go. That sounds easy to say, really hard to do, right? The sailors wanted to take care of it themselves. They were gonna take care of their own, bring everything back into their control, but they would have faced certain disasters. As Christians, we must remember that while things in our life look completely out of control, that God is in control. Paul writes to us, he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul, think about this. He knows this. We're pressed on every side by trouble, but we're not crushed. As believers, we can have the hope that even though we're pressed on every side, we're not crushed. We may be dying or feeling like we're dying under the weight, but it's not going to crush us. We're perplexed. We're confused. We don't know what's going on. But we're not driven to despair. It's unbelievable. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Paul says we may get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. As believers, we have to have a confident hope and faith that no matter what life is facing at you, whether you're in a storm that will be calmed or a storm that will end in a shipwreck, we must understand that we are not abandoned by God. You and I will never experience God's full provision and full miracles or just His full comfort and peace in the storm unless we let go of our control. That means we have to surrender and let go, even if it means that we lose everything in the process. And hear me clearly, if you and I lose everything by letting go and surrendering, and all we have left is Jesus, and we have everything we need. If we lose everything in surrendering and letting go of our control, and all we're left with is Jesus, well, that's everything we need. I want you to hear that again. Nobody wants to be able to say amen to a statement like that unless you've been in that situation and know what it means to have lost it all and realize Jesus is all I had and Jesus was all I needed. I don't want you to be at a place where you've had to experience that. But I want you to know that when that place comes, I pray that this would ring true in your heart and that the profound beauty of what it means to have nothing but Jesus and that being enough that will sustain you in the midst of your shipwreck or your hardship. We have to let go of our control. We have to let go of those areas of our life where we want to stay in control and recognize that God is in control. That means you may need to let go of that failure, let go of that trauma. Maybe there's an unhealthy dating relationship that you have and that it's bringing you down and God's saying you need to let go of it, but you're afraid of what that may mean. And God's saying this relationship is not good. It's holding you back and you need to let it go. And you're trying to control all the pieces and God says no. You need to let go of that hatred or that resentment that you're feeling. Let go of that idol that you're holding on to that's more important than anything else in your life, including God. Maybe you have to let go of that thing that you're relying on instead of God, your plan B kind of thing. Maybe for you lost a job and you got a severance when you left. And as much as you were afraid of the job loss, you in the back of your mind, you're like, well, thank goodness I got a severance because that should get me down 3 or 4 months of time before I really have to get a job. And it shouldn't take me that long to do it. And so you always had this confidence in God was going to get you through. But yeah, the back of your mind, there's this severance that's there. And so you're leaning more on the idea that the plan B is going to work. But now 2 months has passed. Now 3 months have passed and you're watching this dollar amount drop and drop and you're realizing time is of the essence and your spouse is now getting upset and everyone's getting worried. You're realizing, wait a minute, maybe my confidence isn't in God. Maybe my confidence was in this bank account and maybe what it is that God is going to deplete that so that you have nothing left but only Jesus to realize that's all I really needed to be able to get through the situation once and for all. Is there anything in your life that maybe mirrors that? Something you're holding on to and thinking to yourself, well, as long as I got that, it may be your lifeboat. And if you try to hold on to that, and when the shipwreck happens and the pieces are there that you're supposed to hold on to, and that's Jesus, to be able to make it to shore, if your hands are overloaded with other things that you think are more important, you will not have the ability to hold on to what God's extending to you to get you through this hard time. What lifeboat do you need to cut away? What lifeboat do you need to drift away in your life? And what are you afraid will happen if you let it go? Maybe today God brought you here just to be able to kind of get in your face about this issue and say it's time to pray. And pray to God and ask Him to remove your fear and to give you the ability to be able to rely on Him and not yourself and to let go of control. Ask God to help me get out of the way and help you, Lord, be fully in control. The next thing I want you to remember is that while we're not in control, we must still remain on task. Write this down in your message guide. Number two, don't abandon your responsibilities. Remember when we were reading the passage of Scripture and the soldiers wanted to leave and Paul said, you're going to die, and I was trying to explain to you that how this would kind of work out is that the soldiers are going to die in their lifeboat and leaving the boat unmanned, and then those people aren't going to make it because they won't have the ability to be able to do what was going to be next that God required them. And so this was a situation where we need to not abandon our responsibilities. You just can't abandon your responsibility or your post in a storm. You need to do your part on whatever practical level that is while we're waiting for God to deliver us. Did you hear that? That means in the middle of your storm, you still have responsibility. If you're in the middle of a major storm right now in your life through an area of hardship that you're going through, you still have to get up and go to work. You follow? I know that your life is falling apart, and what you want to do is just curl up in your bed and just kind of drift away. But the reality is we still have a responsibility in the midst of the storm. Moms and dads, even though your marriage may be going through such a crisis, you still are parents. And you still have responsibilities to get your kids to where they need to be. You still have a responsibility to give your children a loving place to live, even though you're going through a storm. There's still some practical things that we need to do. We cannot abandon our responsibilities in the midst of the storm. Even in the midst of the storm, you need to be able to wake up and to pray and spend time with God. That is one of our key responsibilities in the midst of the storm, is to make sure that God is communicating with us and that we know what we're supposed to do. Many of us lay awake at night worrying, only to be able to not get up early in the morning to be able to spend time with our God. We spend so much time doing anything else but time with Him, and this is what we need. In the middle of your storm, don't abandon your responsibilities. If you're in a financial storm, another example is you've got to control your unnecessary spending. You can't just ignore the fact that we're going down. You have to stop those extra spending things to be able to pull back to get things back under control. You can't just go online and shop Amazon like you're liking stuff on Instagram. Add to cart. This feels so much better. We've all done it, right? We've all bought something the next morning going, like an infomercial. It used to be infomercials that we'd buy things late night. Now we're like in the cart shopping. I totally need this. This is so cool, you know? We've all done it. You have to get rid of the things in your life that are overloading and overburdening you. Again, you can't swim to shore on broken pieces of boat if your hands are overloaded with things you refuse to let go of. You don't know how your storm is going to turn out. So get rid of those things that are holding you down. Get rid of those pieces that are in your way. Get rid of those things that you're holding onto for control. Because not only are you going through the storm, but others are watching. And as Christians, we can demonstrate our faith in God to our children, and to our family, and to our coworkers and our neighbors, our church family, our small groups, by how you and I are responding in the middle of that storm. I pray that we will be seen as people of faith. Number three, write this down. Trust God even when things don't make sense. God doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes to me. Am I the only person that feels that way? Just doesn't make sense why God doesn't just fix certain things. I get other things, and there's certain things that I would think, oh, God's going to totally like let this thing trash out, and it doesn't. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense either. You should be fixing these things, God, and you should be letting these things come to disaster, because after all, evil people should always have disaster, and good people should always have good outcomes, right? Anyone else with me? This is what I would love to see happen, but it doesn't happen that way. How is that the case? Does that mean that God is irresponsible or God's asleep at the wheel? No. What it means is that just as fear is contagious, so is faith. And so you can focus on one or the other, but you don't always have to understand everything that God's doing to have faith in Him. You have to trust God even when things don't make sense. You see, faith does not require you to understand everything God is doing. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 55:8 says that my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. This is God speaking. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. You and I will never understand all that's at play in our storm or our shipwreck. But faith does not require you to understand everything God is doing, but faith means trusting God in spite of your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, but don't lean on your own understanding. Because how I would want to see things work out, they may not work out the same way. And I want a happy ending to the storm I'm in, and what God's trying to do is write the story of your life, which is going to be a completely different version of what you thought it was going to be. But when you look back, you're going to see how God's hand was there and how He used this hurt, how He used this tragedy, how He used this thing to create something out of you that you never would have created on your own, because you didn't have the power, you didn't have the strength, you didn't have the courage, you didn't have the resources, you didn't have the time. But suddenly everything changed, and He would reinvent you. So pray to God and ask Him to help you trust Him, even though you may never understand what He's doing. Again, it's easy to pray that prayer, but it is really hard to apply it. Number four, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Read with me in verse 33. As they share their last meal together on this boat, just as day was dawning, so it was about 5 a.m., they don't realize yet this is going to be their final day. It's still dark outside, the storm is still raging. Paul pulls everyone together to eat. And he says to them, "You have been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks." He said, "Please eat something now for your own good." And he reminds them, "For not one hair on your head will perish." Verse 35, he took some bread and he gave thanks before them all, and he broke pieces of it and he ate it. And everybody was encouraged to see Paul eating, and they began to eat. It says, all 276 of us who were on board. After eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. Imagine that feeling. So we just had our last meal, really. I mean, we're throwing it over. Oh, man. You know what Paul was trying to get them to do? Paul's trying to say, eat. This is our last meal together. You are going to survive, but you need some strength for what's getting ready to happen. Did you catch this? Put this in the context of a storm you're in. You know that through God, you're going to get through it. And you need to strengthen yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, all the different places in your life. You need to be strengthened to go through this storm, because it's not just going to end with a nice little gentle finish line and a rainbow comes up. Maybe what you're facing is going to require a lot of extra effort in just the moments ahead. And Paul is trying to tell and pull everyone together, and he's trying to say, look, guys, if you're an exercise person, you need to do some carb loading right now, because you got a big endurance swim coming up in just a few hours, and you can't be afforded cramping up out there because you haven't eaten and taken care of your physical needs, because what's getting ready to happen is going to push you beyond your ability. It's going to take all the grip strength that you have. It's going to take quad strength and leg strength to swim. You're going to have to be full, and you're going to have to be ready, because when the time comes, you've got to get through this. You've got to strengthen yourself. And I'm telling you today, for you, write it down, strengthen yourself in the Lord. How you are going to get through this is by strengthening yourself in the Lord. How do you do that? By spending time in His Word, filling up. By spending time in God's presence in prayer. By spending time in worship, being filled up with praise so that you can be poured out when that time comes. Husbands and wives, if you're going through a storm, it's by strengthening your marriage together, because Satan, in the middle of a storm, is going to want to divide you two and create a secondary storm with inside the storm you're already dealing with. Strengthen your family. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Because it may get worse before things get better. We must strengthen ourselves in the storm. So now the sun begins to rise in verse 39. When morning dawns, they can see a coastline. They haven't seen one yet. This is the first time we see that they see a coastline. They didn't recognize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach, and they wondered if they could get to shore by running the ship aground. Wow. So they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. What a great picture of letting go of full control. Then they lowered the rudders. Now think about for a second, who has to do this job that I'm reading about right now? The sailors. If the sailors had gotten off the boat, they couldn't have done what they're getting ready to do. They're in deep water, and they see the shore, and they think, we can make it. And they lowered the rudders, they raised the foresail, and they headed towards shore. What they were hoping was, like, I get it, Paul, so we're going to shipwreck, right? I get it. But in everyone's mind, I'm sure in your mind too, in your shipwreck, what you're kind of hoping for is a Gilligan's Island kind of shipwreck, where we're going to kind of like, you know, just rear on the shore, there's going to be a hole in the boat, we can't go anywhere, but we're all okay, and we can get our luggage off, and then we're just going to, woo, that was pretty bad, I can't believe we made it, right? This is what they're all hoping for. What they weren't hoping for is what happened. You can almost imagine one of the guys in the back of the boat says, hey, Fezzik, are there rocks ahead? Come on, if there are, we'll all be dead, right? I mean, no Princess Bride fans in this service? I gotta go. I'm sorry. Just watch the end of last sermon. I'll post that on the internet. Come on. No more rhymes. Now I mean it. Oh, okay, a couple of you. We should be in a small group together. I'm just saying, we ought to talk after service, but they didn't expect this to happen. They lowered the rudders, they raised the foresail, and headed towards the shore, verse 41. But they hit a shoal and ran the ship aground too soon, and the bow of the ship stuck fast while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of the waves and began to break apart. I know a lot of times in the middle of a storm, we just want, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I already told you before that we have to do what's practically wise. What is our job? What's our role? And we just do those things. We don't have to be in control. We just have to be responsible for our job in the middle of this storm. Be a parent, be a business leader, but be responsible in the middle of your storm. Be a person of faith. But I always want to know, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? In this moment in time, it became very clear what you're supposed to do. When the boat begins to break apart, it's time to get off the boat and swim. That's why you strengthen yourself in the Lord. It's the worst case scenario is happening in your family, in your situation. It'll be clear to you what your next step is. In this case, it was grab a piece of the boat and swim to shore. Verse 42, the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape. That was their trained scenario to do that because they didn't want the prisoners to survive it, and then they'd die because of it. But it says in verse 43, the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so they didn't let them carry out their plan, and he ordered that anyone who could swim jump overboard and make it for land. And the others would hold on to planks of debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped safely to shore. On the broken pieces of a ship, they were brought safely to shore. Write this down, number 5. God can do great things with broken pieces. God can still rescue you. God can still carry out his purpose. God can still bring his plan to fruition on broken pieces. You know what a mosaic is, right? A mosaic is like a piece of art that's made with broken tiles and shards of glass. It's made of just pieces that are just broken fragments. But yet when it's finally assembled together by an artist, it's something beautiful to behold. It's quite a treasure. It's breathtaking. He takes the broken pieces in your life in the same way. He takes what happened to you when you were in college and that big failure and trauma that you had there. He takes the broken relationship that nearly destroyed you and took all the wind out of your sails. He took the death of a child. He took a divorce of a spouse. He took the fact that maybe your parents abandoned you and you were put into foster care. But in the midst of it all, there was a story that was being written. And although any segment in time, if the story had ended there with just a shipwreck and destruction, you would have thought to yourself that God was asleep at the wheel and doesn't care. But looking back in your life, you can see clearly that God's hand was all in it. And so for those that can look back and see the tapestry of the mosaic already in their life, I want to encourage you to say, he's in the business of always doing that. But for those of you right now that their storm has just happened and the shipwreck's just happened and you are just barely alive, just know that one day God will redeem your story and show to you how this beautiful mosaic is something that he's worked out. God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a pain. And while he doesn't always calm the storms in life, he is there with you through them all, and he will restore you. You just have to surrender and let go of control and remember that if I can have Jesus and nothing else, I still have it all. That's all I need. And so this morning, I've asked my daughter to sing our closing song today, and I just want to ask you just to listen and read the lyrics, and I pray they'll minister to you. I'd like our prayer team to be in all four corners of the room for those that want or need prayer this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning, you just want to ask, I want to give my heart to God, but I don't know how to do that. Our prayer team is here to help you navigate that. But as you read the lyrics of the screen, and as the song is being sung, I pray that it would encourage your heart and embolden your faith, and no matter what you're going through, just know we love you and we understand. And as hard as this message is, and as confident we are in God's ability, we know that sometimes you just need some prayer and some friends to be able to encourage you and strengthen you when it looks like this storm isn't ending. We're here with you. We love you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the power of your word and for your testimony, Lord, over and over in my life and through many other lives in this room, Lord, how you've redeemed those broken, terrible moments, Lord, and made them something special. I pray that you would encourage the hearts of anyone who's going through that moment right now. Strengthen them, God, in your spirit and in your way. Whisper to their heart just a calming peace and assurance that they're going to survive. Even if they're going through a shipwreck moment, God, that they're going to survive. And that the broken pieces they need to cling to, God, you'll point them out and tell them when to move. Help them be responsible in the meantime, God, to do what you've called them to do that's practical. But God, never let them take control, that they give that control fully to you. May we be people of faith. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.